الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, beloved brothers and elders, in the ayat we've recited in the khutbah, few verses of Suratul Mu'minun, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a description, certain qualities of those people who Allah Himself says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. They are such people who are focused, properly focused towards good works. وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. And these are people who take the lead, who are ahead of the rest. They are the pioneers, they are the forerunners, they are the ones who will be in front in this world and they'll take the lead in the akhirat. Who are these people? Allah goes on to, Allah explains their qualities and says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. First quality, they are really careful about every step they take, every move they make, just because of the fear of their Rabb. So their first quality is, they are cautious, they are careful, because they constantly know and realize Allah is watching them. Out of the fear of not doing anything wrong, they're careful about everything they do. Then number two, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. They have firm belief and iman in all the signs of their Rabb. The ayat of Quran, as well as the signs that Allah shows them in this world, they take lesson from what's happening around them, knowing everything is taking place through the command of Allah. Third quality, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. They stay far away from ascribing any type of partner to Allah. At this point, important to know, one is what we know as shirk akbar, the major shirk, where a person ascribes a partner to Allah, whether it be in being or in quality. Example, a person takes up an idol, Allah save and protect every one of us. Or he ascribes some, he makes someone a partner in one of the qualities only Allah possesses. This is such a crime, shirk akbar, which Allah Himself says every sin is pardonable, except the crime of shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. If a person died committing shirk, this sin will never be forgiven by Allah. Every other sin is possible to be forgiven. So one is shirk akbar, the other is known as shirk asghar, a minor shirk. What is known as minor shirk? Minor shirk is where a person does good deeds. He does good deeds for what? To show, to win the attention and favor of other people. This also, unfortunately, falls under the broader definition and category of shirk. The Quran Kareem is saying, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. The perfect believers are those who stay far away from every type of shirk. May Allah save and protect every one of us. The next quality Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. These people who take the lead, these people who are genuinely, firmly focused on good and on their objectives, who are they? The fourth quality is, they do whatever they do. They carry out their actions daily, diligently, paying full attention. But what's the condition of their hearts? The conditions of their hearts is, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلًا. Their hearts are gripped with fear. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبْ. They are going to return to their Rabb. They're doing whatever they're doing, but they aren't complacent. They don't feel, you know, now we've got the green light, or we've got a green card, we've got some type of indemnity, that now no one can do anything to us. We are clear, genuinely going into Jannah. Allah save and protect every one of us from this type of complacency. Whatever a person does, if Allah gives you the tawfiq to carry it out, remember, it's a sign and it's something Allah is showing you, that you make more shukr to Allah. Don't feel that what you're doing is because of your own perfection. It's only the tawfiq and guidance of Allah. Allah is praising this quality. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are these people? Hazrat Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained to her, these are people who engage in good daily, regularly, all the time, whenever they can. But they never feel complacent. They never feel that they have a guarantee and everything now is going to be smooth sailing for them and they're going to automatically, they've secured their place. No, right till the end, they are gripped with fear. They don't know how they're going to end up, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith recorded in Sunan Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He took a qasam, he took an oath in the name of Allah saying, I swear in the name of that being in whose soul is my life. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, sometimes a person is going so well and so smooth, he's doing the works of the people of Jannah. He's doing good work, he's engaging in every type of good. Salah, zakat, sadaqah, sawm, fasting, nafil deeds, faraz deeds. He's continuously working very well until between him and Jannah, there's only one dhira. One dhira is the distance from a person's fingers to his elbow. This is one dhira. Approximately half a meter. So he's working so well, between him and Jannah, there's only one zira, one hand span space, or one arm space to get into Jannah. Then taqdeer intervenes, something comes in, he begins doing the work of the people of Jahannam, and maut comes to him in this condition, and as a result of his last deeds being the deeds of the people of Jahannam, he's now entered into Jahannam. He was steadily moving towards Jannah, but at the end something happened, and this man's entire destiny shifts from Jannah to going to Jahannam. Allah save and protect every one of us. And then you find a person, on the other hand, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also says, sometimes a person does the work of the people of Jahannam, until between him and Jahannam there's only one arm space. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then says, taqdeer intervenes. Hidayat and guidance is written for this man. Right at the end, he starts doing the work of the people of Jannah, and as a result of that, his maut comes to him in that condition, and he's ushered into Jannah. How favored is this man? Teaching us, we can never look down, we can never despise anyone, no matter where that person is. If he's doing wrong, you're going to correct him. But you can never look down at him, because you don't know where he's going to end up tomorrow, and you don't know where you're going to end up tomorrow. If Allah has blessed you with tawfiq and hidayat and guidance and the fervor and zeal to do good and engage in good works today, it's only Allah's ni'mat, only Allah's bounty. Thank Allah for it, but always be fearful. Oh Allah, I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know how I'm going to leave. Oh Allah, you make that occasion easy for me. Sahaba ikiram radiallahu anhum, they disaffectly. They were people who got glad tidings from the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. Whilst he was alive, He told so many of them, they belong to the people of Jannah. He gave them glad tidings on so many occasions. Yet, look into their lives. Right till their final moments, they were still gripped with fear. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ They did whatever they needed to do. They engaged. They carried out every command perfectly. They never shifted, diverted from the sunnah for the slightest, even for a fraction or to the slightest degree. They didn't divert. Yet, right till the end, their hearts were gripped with fear. This is a lesson for us that we also are always focusing on that last moment. We don't know what's going to happen then. Oh Allah, you make it blessed for us. You let us leave in an excellent condition. One Sahabi who we can take lesson from is a Sahabi by the name of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was amongst the Qurayshi leaders. He was part of the Quraysh and he was one of the leaders to the point to understand when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the initial stages of Makkah Mukarramah, they had made hijrah to Habasha, to Abyssinia. Ja'far radiallahu anhu was with them and many others. When they made hijrah, then the Quraysh needed to bring them back. So the man they sent to bring the Muslims back and tell the king Najashi that release these people because they are mischief makers, the man they sent to represent them in Habasha was Amr bin As. He wasn't a Muslim at the time. So he was a very influential person. He was good in explaining. He had the gift of the gab. Quraysh sent him, but he was unsuccessful in that. Najashi had given sanctuary to these people. Allah chose Islam to remain strong and protect the Muslims. Nevertheless, this had ended. Later on, some say after Hudaybiyah, after the 7th year Hijrah, some say before Fateh Makkah in the 8th year, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was guided to accept Islam. And Amr bin As was such a great person. A hadith recorded in Sunan Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Aslama an-nasu wa amana Amrun." The rest of people, others, they have accepted Islam. But Amr bin As is a man who is blessed with iman from the recess of his heart. This is how Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam praised Amr. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding Amr, "Inna Amran min salihi Quraishin." Amr is amongst the very pious and elite people of the Quraysh who Allah has favored in a great way. These were the praises that he received from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was confident on him. The moment he accepted Islam, just a few moments after it, or a few months later, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him the Amir and the leader of a certain battalion to go in a certain direction, Dhatul Salasil. He was acquainted with the terrain and the people. He was made the Amir and the leader. He went in the direction. Under his command were great senior Sahaba like Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, under the command of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu. He goes in the direction. He's victorious. Then in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sends him towards Syria as a military leader. And Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khilafat, he makes him the governor of Palestine. Umar radiallahu anhu then saw there was a need for someone to march towards Egypt. He sent Amr bin As as the leader. Amr bin As goes and he's victorious. He's the one responsible for conquering Egypt during the time of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. He ruled over Egypt for a period of 10 years. 4 years during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu, 4 years during the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and 2 years during the Khilafat of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This was Amr bin As. These were his victories. These were his merits and the accolades that he earned during his lifetime. Nevertheless, there's a man, a tabi'i by the name of Abdul Rahman al-Mahri, rahimahullah, who says, حَضَرْنَا عَمْرَ بْنَ الْعَاسِ وَهُوَ فِي سِيَاقِ الْمَوْتِ. He says, we, a group of people, had come to Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, and he was about leaving. He was in Sakarat. There were very few moments left for him to leave the world. And when we entered, we noticed Yabki Tawilan. He was crying for lengthy periods. He was crying. And he didn't even face his face towards us. He was facing the wall, and there were tears flowing out of his eyes. So people felt it a little bit difficult to speak to him at the time. The reason he was doing this was now he knew he's got very little time left and he wants to focus towards his journey to the akhirat. He doesn't want to be engaged with people at this time. He's got a major journey to be concerned about. He wants his focus to be in one direction. His son Abdullah bin Amr bin As, who's also a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he addresses his father and he tells him that you are crying. Why are you crying at this moment? Then he wants to comfort his father. He tells him, didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam give you so many glad tidings whilst you were alive? He gave you this glad tiding, he gave you this basharat, he gave you so much good news. Why are you so grieved and crying at this moment? So now he says, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu turns around. He faces them and he tells them that you are talking about the different glad tidings. 100% that's true. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't tell me that. But he said, right now, the greatest provision that I'm concerned about and the thing that's going to help me the most, those glad tidings are in its place. I don't look down at them. But right now, my concern is my kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Teaching us the importance when we all have to leave. We got no guarantee whether we're going to be able to recite that kalima at that dying moment or not. He says right now, inna afbala ma nu'iddu la ilaha illallah. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The greatest thing right now is this kalima. I am concerned that I must be able to recite this kalima and this must be the last words before I leave. Then he tells them, why I'm crying? Because there were three stages in my life. Let me explain to you. So he says the first stage was before I accepted Islam. And he says, at that time, let me inform every one of you. Unfortunately, at that time, my mind was such that the most hated man in my life and in my sight was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most beloved thing to me at that time was to spill his blood and to take his life. He says, had I died then, I would have definitely been from the people of Jahannam. Many of my friends, many of my associates died in that condition. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they died like that and they have reached the fire of Jahannam. Jahannam, they doomed forever. Had I died then, I would have been doomed forever. But Allah had guided me. Allah guided me. Allah saved me. He says, second stage, he's recalling. There was a point in my life when I was really far away, but Allah guided me. Bringing before us this lesson that at all times, we all know, we are seated here today. There may have been some very dark deeds we engaged in once upon a time. There may have been a dark stage in our life. There may have been things that we engaged in and we could have taken a different turn. Allah turned us in the right direction. Always thank Allah for that ni'mat. Where we were and where Allah has probably put us today, we are in a better dini condition today than we were yesterday. Make shukr to Allah. Imagine the people of Jannah. Allah speaks about this in Quran. When the people of Jannah will be entered into Jannah, Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. We will remove every type of malice, dirt, hatred from the hearts of the Jannatis. There won't be any sort of hatred in Jannah. And then Allah says, what will be the statement of the people of Jannah? Allah says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. All praise is due to Allah who guided us throughout our lives and caused us now to reach Jannah. Had it not been for Allah's guidance, we would have never did what we did. We would have never been here today. It's only Allah's guidance. This is something that Jannatis will say when they're entering Jannah. How much you and I need to repeat this? Understanding it's only Allah's favor. Like Allah blessed us, Allah can take it away from us. We can never feel complacent and look down at anyone. So Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is making shukr. Allah took him out of that condition. Then he says the second stage in my life was during the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says that was the best stage of my life. There wasn't anything better. And he says, taqdeer is I'm going to pass away now. But had I passed away then of my life, I was with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now the man who was the most hated is now the most beloved. Previously, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to murder him and take his life. Now, anyone who merely indicates that he wants to do this, I'll kill anyone who comes in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was one stage. That was a second stage in my life. And he says, I had so much of respect and love for this man that I couldn't look at him in the eye. Previously, I couldn't see eye to eye with him. Now, out of respect for him, I couldn't look at him in the eye. He says, if you want to get the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll have to ask any other sahabi, but don't ask me, because whenever I came in front, kuntu la arfa'u basari ilayhi ijlalan lahu. I never looked at him in the eye. I always looked down out of the respect I had for this man. So I cannot give you a detailed description of his features because I never looked up at him out of the extreme respect. He said, had I passed away then, I knew I would have been from the people of Jannah because I was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says the third stage came when I had to take care of different terrains. I had to take care in Syria, then he was in Palestine, then he was the conqueror of Egypt. Then there were a lot of things we had to engage in, and I don't know whether I did something wrong, whether I misbehaved, never something I'm going to be taken to task for during that period after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the world. This is why I'm crying. I don't know how it's going to fare with me. I imagine, brothers, a point for us to consider. This is Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, who is so favored. He's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but at that moment, he isn't complacent. He's not looking down, he's begging the mercy of Allah. Teaching us that a mu'min is always hopeful for Allah's mercy, and at the same time, he's also fearful that I mustn't be taken to task for something I did wrong. There's always a balance between the two. Then he told them, when I pass away, please make sure no wailing women accompany my janazah, because this is incorrect. For someone to cry, to put up a show and to explain qualities that didn't exist in my life and to cry in a wailing manner, tearing the clothes, etc. No woman of this sort should accompany my janazah. There shouldn't be any fire that's going to accompany the janazah, because in the time of Jahiliyyah, it was customary for people to light fire lamps and move with the janazah. He said, this mustn't come. When you put me in the grave, then throw the sand slowly and remain there. Once you cover up, remain. Recite something for me. Remain to the time that a camel is normally slaughtered and the meat is distributed, remain for that time so that I can take support from you people's recitation and I can answer the angels who've been sent by my Rabb to question me. I can give them the correct answers. Look at the fear of this man. He's not saying, I'm confident, I can do what I want. He is worried. Make dua, Allah makes it easy for me. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when people passed away, he also advised, recite something for your brother and ask Allah to keep him firm and Allah enable him to give the correct answers. This was Amr bin As teaching us, brothers, at all times we also should be thinking of our final moments. The best of the ummah, as we explained, Suratul Mu'minun, are those, Allah praises them, no matter what they do, no matter how much they've accomplished, no matter what heights they reached, they are always thinking about their dying moment. We don't know how it's going to fare with us at that time. That's why it's mentioned so beautifully that everyone is concerned. You know, it's more important to be worried, or it's more important, what matters more than how you live in this world, it's more important how you live. How you live is more important than how you live. But remember, how you live will ultimately determine how you live. So how you live in this world, how you leave the world is more important than how you live. But how you live will ultimately determine how you live. Important is we live the life correctly and we ask Allah continuously, oh Allah, aid me, help me, assist me. One dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should recite. He said, إِذَا تَشَهَّدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ. When you're making tashahud of every salah, then ask Allah's protection from four things. What are these four? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azabi jahannam. Oh Allah, protect me from the punishment of jahannam. Wa a'udhu bika min azabi al-qabr. Oh Allah, protect me from the punishment in the grave. Wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. Oh Allah, protect me from the trials of life and death. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. And oh Allah, I ask you protection from the evil of the fitna of Masih Dajjal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, remind yourself daily, ask Allah to make that dying moment easy and the moments after death easy. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us mubarak maut, and may Allah grant us the tawfiq to practice on the points mentioned. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.